Good morning, Gloucester. It is GloucesterCast 298, two away from the big 300.
Oh my goodness, wow. Oh, that's exciting. Goodness.
It is exciting.
Wow.
Second day of fall.
Yes.
Everybody thinks fall starts September 1st, but really starts September 22nd.
Right, and I really pretend that it doesn't start until the end of October, until Halloween.
Me too.
Flip-flops until you can't wear flip-flops. Until your toes are frozen.
No tights.
No tights.
No tights.
No tights.
Still self-tanning.
There you go, right? Chris McCarthy is with us today.
Good morning.
Fresh from D.C.
Yes.
Heidi Dallin is here. We're going to have a couple cast members, maybe, and the new interim managing director at the Gloucester Stage.
Yep, and the education apprentice, my education apprentice.
And that person, too. And Kim Smith is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
She won't be with us next week.
Right. No wedding. My cousin's wedding in Pennsylvania. I'm very excited to go to. But I'll miss you.
No, you won't. You don't care. You don't care. We were just talking before when we were assimilating our show notes about do you have a steadfast rule on when you will turn the heat on for the first time in the fall? Does any of you guys have a steadfast rule?
I do.
What's your steadfast rule?
My steadfast rule is you don't turn it on until at least October 1st, hopefully October 15th.
Yeah.
You try to go as long as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because once that heat comes on, then you know
fall
winter are upon us.
Well, my husband, who I adore, he is a writer, so he's like freezing at midnight, you know what I mean, because he's like sitting there at a desk typing away, and so he did turn the heat on last night. However, my office was I was uploading footage, so I had my air conditioner on in the office, so I came downstairs, my computer was still hot, the heat was on, and the air conditioner was blaring away in my office. So I'm going to encourage him to get a little space heater.
So you had the battling between the heater and the air conditioning at the same, fighting each other.
Right, all night long.
It was tremendous. I love that.
I don't know.
Heidi, do you have a steadfast rule?
I would say as late as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have, I would never think of putting it on now. And see, you know, living in the condo, we're in the middle. So,
Vince, you're pretty good insulation.
So today, today when I opened the door, I'm like, oh, it's chilly. I need a jacket.
Yeah.
I was so warm inside.
Right, right.
So that's when when it was
100
degrees and humid, not as exciting, but it's great. As long as we can wait as possible.
I have my rule generally in the past is I like to go to October, but I don't have a steadfast rule. This was my thought the middle of last week or one day. We had a little bit of cool. It really wasn't that cool, but it might have been like low 60s. But in my house, it's been so humid that I have like this buckling issue with my floor, and I was just in my head. I kind of floated the idea to Kate, like, why don't we put on the pellet stove just to take the dampness out of the room?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And she's like, nah, let's not.
No, that is a good idea actually, because we never had a moisture problem in our basement because we had an old huge old coal burning furnace that had been converted to an oil burner, but it was very inefficient, so it kind of heated up the basement.
Right.
So as soon as we got our new furnace, which was 10 times more efficient, we started to have a moisture problem.
That's
interesting.
It happens.
Yeah. So especially for floor buckling, I would give it a try.
I know. Yeah. And then, but literally like 3 hours later, it was like hot in the house.
Yeah.
Well, with this, fall, it you typically means, cooler.
Cooler, drier weather, which
more
I'm
air circulation.
Yeah. I like for work because this is our busiest time of year now.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the cool, dry days.
Oh yeah.
I think you should get Tom a onesie.
A snuggle or
you know
snuggy.
No, the onesie you can.
If you have to.
Oh yeah, you can still poop in the onesie, right?
If you have to type in work for hours at a desk, and you have a.
Hold it! We have a visitor.
Oh my God. Who's that?
He has arrived.
Wow. He's doing that on purpose.
That's his move.
Mike Kodair has arrived.
Mike Kodair.
Is he coming up?
That's his move. He's coming up, yeah. He gets within like about 50 yards of my house, he rolls all his windows down and he cranks up like some song, usually either from the 80s or one of the classics.
I can still hear it pumping.
And he pulls it through.
He must have it on so loud. All the windows are closed.
He is a piece of work. Yeah, so anyway, we're going to hear a little bit from Mike when he gets upstairs here. Last night we went to Passports for dinner. And I want to apologize to the wait staff.
Okay.
Being a little loud. And I wasn't even there. I wasn't even there, Joe.
I know. Normally, we have to apologize for you. It would have been a real shit show.
I saw Eric on the street last night. He was standing right next to St. Peter's Club, near St. Peter's and Machaca.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so packed at Machaca.
Yeah.
Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, Machaca.
Machaca. It was packed there when I went by, which was awesome to see. Yeah.
Good morning, Michael.
Morning, savages. I know you're from the gym, right? You go to the Mac?
No,
you have a sister then.
No, I don't. I'm an only child.
Michael.
Heidi, how are you?
Mike.
Hi,
Mike, you're interrupting the podcast, Mike.
That's all right, Mike.
Mike, we're on.
How you
the
doing,
podcast.
Brother? Nice to see you.
This guy just walks
Mike,
in.
Mike Kodair, come in.
Just like
legend. These guys,
yeah,
Beats by Dre headphones on.
Yeah.
So,
have your music on full blast with the headphones on?
I just put them on just to continue that song.
It's the move. That's his
and
move.
And I was copying Joey with his headphones.
There you go.
Yeah.
He didn't want me to feel left out. So Mike, how would you rate the dinner last night? What did you order at Passports last night?
I had the tenderloin and scallops. It was really good. And the wine was exceptional.
Trilogy,
yeah.
Fantastic,
really good wine.
Yeah.
And he does a good job with, like, I think his belief system, and I'm not speaking for him, but my opinion is he wants to move wine. So his markup on wine is like...
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable. I think he does like $25 a bottle. So
even on expensive bottles, he doesn't like.
If it was a $20 bottle, it'd be $45. If it was a $300 bottle, it'd be $3.25.
Yeah.
Have you been to any of his wine dinners?
No.
No, you're
no,
gonna.
But
ha- you
we
have
are.
To go.
We
yeah.
have to
yeah.
go. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
we're
this looked outstanding. I saw the menu
yeah.
for the one that was this past Thursday.
On the 20th.
Yeah,
yeah.
The menu looked outstanding.
Yeah, it's a great value.
And I was there 2 weeks prior, 2 weeks ago. And I brought my in-laws there, and it was outstanding. They raved about it.
Oh, great!
So it's I think it's a hidden gem. Well,
I know for out of towners. For you to say that, you just totally exposed yourself as someone that just moved here.
There was a newbie. How many people went there last night?
I'm a newbie.
It was packed. He just keeps. He continues to execute, and that place is just a machine. You know, and they come up with the. I think a big part of what makes his place successful is. Everything is fresh. All his ingredients are fresh. He goes to the market. He picks out his stuff. But the menu is not stale. He constantly is reinventing that menu. And it's
that meal last night, was it $26?
Right. And in Boston, that was a $48 meal, entree.
Wow.
Yeah.
What
did you have last night?
Tenderloin, which was probably a 6 ounce cut, and scallops. Three scallops. That would be like a $75 meal.
Oh, that sounds
wow. Joey hasn't been in Boston in 20 years, but
he hasn't been over the bridge in 20 years.
I get aggravated with the parking situation in Boston. There used to be places you could park. I don't even mind paying for parking, but it's like outrageous now to park in Boston.
Yeah.
The traffic is so intense. Like it used to be.
Valet $10.
Like I used to. Yeah.
What mean?
When you valet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just pull up a front check.
I have become everything that I criticized my father about growing up. Honestly, my father would never take us into Boston, although I do take my children in for Red Sox, Celtic, you know, games and stuff like that.
Well,
other than
you guys are past East Gloucester, let alone West Gloucester, Essex.
I am so content in my little slice of heaven.
You have everything you need right here. That's what my great-grandfather used to say.
That's the way I feel. I really feel that way. Like, we have so many great restaurants.
Yeah.
Like, in the, well, when it slows down, and the thing is, I have to go to bed early this time of year.
Right.
Just to be able to live.
To survive.
I have to survive.
Yeah.
But in the winter, I broaden my horizons and I travel and we go into town and stuff like that. But this time of year, if I get out of work at 6, shower, go driving to Boston at 8, and get home to get up for work at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
It's just not sustainable.
That's not.
Right.
That's
crazy. Right. And it's not worth it. You'd rather spend time with Kate, with your kids, than driving around with them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And we're lucky here. So we got all these awesome places.
That's what Grandpa John
Reese. The world's coming this way.
Huh?
Yeah.
The world is coming this way. People are coming here.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Beauport's a great example of that, right?
Yeah.
The Beauport is what? The Beauport was the final, like the planting of the flag in the moon, like that. I think that legitimized everything and totally discredited all the anti-people that like didn't want anything to happen here for generations. That and Market Basket. How many people fought Market Basket? All those idiots that fought Market Basket.
Can I ask who Grumpy Jodbury was? Is that who the fish pair is named after?
Yes. My great grandfather, Everett Jodbury. Who was a barber and had a shop on Duncan Street, and all the fishermen were his clients. And their shaving mugs were getting dusty because they couldn't unload in Gloucester because there was no fish pier. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so they used to come, they'd be like, yeah, Everett, you know, I can't come home and see my family. They unload in Boston, go right back out. And so they were building a new fish pier in Boston. And Grampy was like, why Boston? We need it in Gloucester.
Right.
This is where the fishermen are. They need to be able to come home. So he started on a campaign to bring the fish pier to Gloucester.
Tremendous.
And he fought he didn't get any gain out of it. He didn't. The FBI came down to investigate him because they figured he was getting a kickback. Because he worked so hard.
Wow.
And they were like, you were the most spotless man. Like, he was just
just who he
for
was.
The community. And it ended, they took the Tebow, the Gertrude Tebow, the schooner, to Washington, to the White House, to get the final money. They met Eleanor Roosevelt. She came aboard.
Wow.
And then the next night they had dinner at the White House. They came home with the final money. It was during the Depression, so it was a huge, boom to Gloucester because there were all the jobs building the pier.
Yeah.
And then we had fish pier in Gloucester.
But listen, and then after the Depression and after World War II, Gloucester fed Europe.
Yeah.
So where was if we didn't have that fish pier, would that
Great
have
point.
Happened?
Yeah.
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 Well, that story is told in the book, Gloucester No More.
Yeah,
that's
told in
Island No More,
Ron Gilson's book. Yeah.
When Eleanor Roosevelt came aboard, they gave her a big haddock and said, here, you know, from our Gloucester fishermen to you. And she said, what am I going to do with this? This is huge. How am I going to... And there's like, share it with the neighbors. That's what we do in Gloucester.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's a great story.
Yeah, so Grampy... And then he lived his final years... He and my great-grandmother had an apartment at Stage Ford Apartments right on the boulevard. And my earliest memories, like from when I could walk, probably when I couldn't walk, he took me too. We would walk up and down the boulevard. Remember there was the guy who used to take pictures?
Yeah, yeah.
I have like tons of pictures. Like every year, you know, Grampy would take me and he would always walk the boulevard. He loved ending his life, being able to look out the windows and seeing the fishing boats.
I'd love to see some old photos of what the boulevard was back then. That would be so interesting. There used to be more tree lined, didn't it?
There's been great posts on Good Morning Gloucester.
Yeah.
I think Catherine has done some really good posts of taking photos and superimposing images
before
right below the before and after.
I bet she would
She's got great ones.
I'd love to see those photos too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to look. We have everything. Because when they did the dedication, we had...
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, and he used to say, I don't understand why people, you know, travel. They have to get away and they have to go. He said, people spend so much money to come to Gloucester. It's a beautiful... He said, I have everything I could ever want here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I could see that in the summer. In the middle of the winter, I want to get the fuck out. I want to go someplace warm.
Well, Grampy really was tougher, you know. So
Kay and I were trying to figure out our honeymoon, where we're going to go on our honeymoon, and we don't really have a ton of time. We're gonna, you know, I don't know if we have set, but we're gonna have like between 7 and 9 days to, I think maximum would be 9.
I thought you were taking the kids to.
Yeah, but that's not our honeymoon.
Okay.
That's a
family trip. Okay.
Does it even think like? Is there any kind of sexuality? You think about a honeymoon. You think about the trip
with
the kids.
For some reason, I thought you told me you were going.
Well, it's
because
you love your children all so much.
I do love my
children. You want to share them.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you told me that you were taking.
Joe, all you need.
We're taking them not for a honeymoon.
We're
taking them for a trip, like
15 minutes.
Anyway.
Family trip. Yeah.
But so this is my thing. May is the last time I can get away.
Okay.
I like going someplace warm and tropical,
yeah.
But Kate is like tired, like for her work,
right,
they're all beach vacations for her.
Right.
Everything's
yeah.
a beach, like, but they're
right.
working trips,
right.
Working trips in quotation marks. So she's working when she's there, remember that. So we're thinking about going to Europe, but I don't
it's
think
not
it's
a
gonna,
lot of time,
I don't
no.
think it's right. So,
what a wine country.
Well, but it's May. It's not going to be
Joe,
warm.
Joe, we'll plan it for you because we're coming and we'll put it all together.
Yeah, so we're recently kind of considering Spain, Portugal, Spain.
The Azores?
Not the Azores. Porto and the south coast. Not Porto. There's some beautiful Caxias, or something like that in Portugal. A beach town.
People don't realize to like get to Spain or some of those European countries, it's only 6 hours.
Right.
I mean,
Spain
it's almost
is.
Like flying
to California.
It's 8 to Italy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
six to Spain is,
Ireland,
is doable.
I mean,
yeah.
an Irish guy like yourself should consider
you
Ireland.
To go to Ireland.
No?
No, none.
The chicken palm over there is
oh,
unbelievable.
Good weather.
and the Chinese food.
And the Chinese food.
The Chinese
no
food.
Desire to go to
Ireland. Dynamite.
I want to go top. Okay, I'm going to go around. Everybody can give the top three bucket list destinations. Greek islands.
Yeah.
Back to Italy. Maybe Rome north instead of Rome south. And France. I'd like to go to south of France.
South of France.
Yeah. Go.
Yeah. I would agree. Greece, southern Italy, and then Russia.
Russia. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Why Russia? Prague?
No, I'm kidding.
You know, to do some oil deals?
No, I wouldn't want to go to Russia. Iceland.
Iceland. Reykjavik is a short
Reykjavik.
Flight.
I want to sit in one of those hot baths.
You short see. Flight. They're really pushing it. They're
yeah.
really pushing that travel.
Yeah.
People fly. You can fly there for like next to nothing.
How about Israel? Israel is.
You see the commercials lately?
Yeah. I'm like, if Israel's like that, I'm going.
I got a feeling it's not like that.
No.
I got a feeling it's nothing like
no,
that.
Exactly.
I got a feeling like it is absolutely such the most bullshit marketing
yeah.
campaign
yeah.
you're ever going to. The truth in advertising.
I've
not happening here.
Yeah, what you can hear are the missiles flying over your head.
Yeah.
But that
maybe
was
some parts of Israel are
yeah.
No,
like that.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. I'm not thinking it's as cosmopolitan and chic. Maybe in the, what is it? What's Dubai, maybe.
Dubai.
Mike, go. Top three.
So somewhere on the Amazon River, like a...
Do you have the
Costa
app?
Rica.
Amazon app?
What is that? What you got?
Australia.
Australia. Yeah, too far though.
Yeah.
No, I like to do that. In
probably Thailand, Mike. Right?
No, I went to Thailand last year.
Brazil or Thailand?
Koh Samui.
Where?
I went to Koh Samui last year off the coast of Thailand. It was great.
Did you?
And you know, Alaska also.
Yeah.
Alaska.
Like, okay. There's your
something adventurous. You know.
Interesting.
Adventurous.
Outdoor.
Heidi, go.
Australia.
Yeah. Do the Australian men accents turn you on?
Aborigines. The Aborigines.
No. Well, honestly, one of the reasons. Oh, I have. I had an Australian boyfriend,
oh.
and I was supposed to go over there with him, and I didn't go.
Oh.
You can file a missing persons
so
report.
Now I feel like.
You missed out.
That I missed out, and I think it's beautiful, and I love all the, their theater scene is amazing and all of that.
Good morning.
So, good morning. Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
How are we doing this morning?
Hey.
Good. Good. Good.
Hey.
I'm Chris.
James.
Hi, James.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Michael, nice to meet you. James, nice to meet
you.
Kim. Nice to meet you.
Hello, I'm Chris.
Hi, James. How you doing?
Yeah, doing
nice
all right.
Nice to see you.
This is the cast of The Agitators.
Cast.
We have 100%.
100% wow.
Attendance of cast.
That's
and
great.
This is Laurel, the education.
Very nice to meet you.
Hi.
Guys, sit down. We're just having a conversation about top three destinations that you know you'd like to go on vacation. And Heidi was just finishing up. Go ahead.
So Australia, yes, Australia, Greece, I would say, and France.
And France. So we got two overlapping.
Let's see. The first place would be. The mountains of central Mexico around the time of the Day of the Dead and along the coast in Mexico City.
Nice.
I would love to do that.
Sounds like you researched this.
And then I would love to go to New Zealand and Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
I would do
New
that
Zealand.
All. I would do that all at the same time.
Yeah.
And then southern Italy. Those are my three top choices.
Amalfi Coast, when you say southern Italy or Sicily?
All.
Yeah.
Like, from the Amalfi Coast down,
the whole thing. I was just watching on YouTube this morning after I got my paperwork done. 5 o'clock this morning, I was watching a walking tour of Amalfi and a walking tour of Positano, two places I had been, and it just brought back how beautiful
the
place it is.
Maybe you should go to that place that Liv went to, that really remote place in Italy where you. It's on the coast, but you have to take a boat to it and stuff like that.
Right. Not Capri, right?
No, it wasn't. I'll find out the
name.
Morning.
I'll
find out the name for you.
Okay,
it's
great.
Really,
all
it's
right.
Very
there
beautiful
you go.
And remote.
There you go.
You, there's no cars. You have to walk. You just walk everywhere.
Fantastic.
And beautiful beaches and.
I just want to note, I rearranged the top post on the blog that's always sticky there.
Oh, okay.
I took out the calendar feature.
Right.
Some people were complaining that it just kind of was
on
your phone when
right.
you're scrolling, it would kind of get be like a ink like right. a grease stain, and then and I also took out all the buttons and I put the buttons at the very top of the blog.
Oh, smart.
To get to different pages on the blog.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Just try to streamline it, and I put a couple of different subscribe buttons just to freshen it up a little bit and streamline it.
Nice. Looking forward to seeing that.
I want to say happy birthday to Anna Eves and Vicky Van Ness. It was their birthday a couple days ago.
Happy birthday, Lee.
Happy birthday.
And I want to do a little the restaurant rundown. We had dinner at Passports last night. I had the steak au poivre. It was fantastic. Tano, 3 years ago. Tano, it's hard to believe that Tano
was
3 years
ago.
3 years
ago.
Wow.
Holy cannoli, wow.
Which is amazing
wow.
that they started the project.
Wow.
Feather Wedge Jazz Brunch is continuing. Mile Marker, $5 Burger Thursdays, and we have the weekly specials at Trio and the Azorian on on the blog as well.
Can I mention Nicole Duckworth's croque monsieur?
Yes.
Yes.
Mention
so,
that.
So she made this beautiful dessert. She was making a mini version of it to celebrate Matt and John's wedding. Because she made a huge version of it for their actual wedding. So it was these beautiful cream puffs filled with cream puff filling, stacked in a pyramid, and then you take caramel and you slowly drizzle that all around, and then you make like a nest of caramel up above it. It was magnificent, and it created quite a stir on Facebook. So, but that's, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I noticed she made some for another really sweet couple that was celebrating their wedding anniversary, so maybe she might make it for you if you call. Nicole does do special order desserts.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh,
good to know.
Yes. Yeah.
The chef and owner of Zeke's, Mike DeCoste, was injured in a fire last Sunday, and I think they have a fundraiser for him. And I think what the number that they originally wanted, I think it's far surpassed. But if you wanted to donate.
Okay.
There's a link, isn't there?
Yeah,
he's going to be in the hospital for a month or something.
He had burns.
He had burns.
Third degree.
Right?
Yeah,
third degree
over a lot of his body.
Third degree goes way through all the layers of skin, but it didn't affect his lungs. So that's the good part, right?
Yeah.
That's
a
think
really
about
bad.
Though that spray.
That spray. I asked my son. Like,
so do you know exactly what happened?
Well, they said it was a cooking spray.
Cooking
came,
oil spray.
Exploded. It was
yeah,
like
cam.
It was it had heated up like it was.
Right,
you know,
it was too close to a burner or something and
yeah,
exploded.
It heated up. So I don't know because like I asked my son because he's a chef where you keep your cooking oil.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, you know.
Away.
Don't worry, away.
So,
but why do you even have to use that?
Hey,
really?
How's it going, Bob?
I know.
Nice to see Bob Walsh is here.
Bob Walsh, Chris Griffith.
Chris Griffith.
No, hey, wait, we have to find out exactly. Is it Griffith or Griffiths?
With an just with a TH. Just
one
of them.
All right.
That's awesome. How's it going, man?
Thanks for coming in.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, missed you.
That one's not broken. That chair is broken.
One other thing I wanted to mention, you can get your tickets for the $25,000 game for the at the Chamber.
Yes.
If you get tickets, you get a chance to like a $10,000 prize, a couple like a $5,000 prize, a bunch of $1,000 prizes. It's a raffle, and it comes with two tickets for a meal, too, so it's a good deal. And that's the Cape Ann Chamber can get you the tickets.
It's a meals.
They have a meal, so they have this drawing. It's at the Gloucester House.
Oh, okay.
And they have, it is at the Gloucester House, right? The $25,000 game?
I
mean, make
I do
sure.
not know that.
I just want to make sure.
I don't know
sure.
anything about that.
Is that the Chamber?
Yeah. Usually it's at Lenny's place, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. Tickets are still available for the. They only sell like 100 tickets or something. And there is. On October 4th, the Gloucester House Restaurant from 5 to 7, they do the drawings and they have a dinner included with it. $25,000 game also includes a 50-50 raffle. The total prize money that's given out is $25,000 and the grand prize is $10,000, which is, that's a lot of money. So, they're fun to go to and always fun to see who wins. Pat Dalpiaz and Jimmy Dalpiaz and I split a ticket.
Oh,
we kind of
cool.
That's our new thing.
Okay.
They go because I'm always working. I don't get to go. They eat the meal, and
nice.
We have a chance. We have a chance.
Nice.
The cast of The Agitators is here.
100% of the cast. First time in podcast history we've had 100% of the cast here.
The odds were greatly increased. Why?
Two cast members.
Welcome. Both podcast virgins?
Yes, both
yes.
virgins. Yep. Yep.
Thanks
virgins.
For coming.
Yep. Yeah, we have a lot of virgins. We have a lot of virgins in the house today.
Is
yeah.
it?
Laurel, my apprentice from New Jersey.
Hi, Laurel.
Hi.
How long is she going to be your apprentice for?
Till mid-December,
mm-hmm.
right after Holiday Delights. I'm not letting her leave.
So where do you go to school?
I went to school in Pennsylvania at Muhlenberg College.
And how did you get this job?
Somebody, I don't remember who sent me the application.
And you applied?
I applied and Heidi chose me.
Yes.
So.
It was a big I had like over 20 applicants for the education apprentice
wow.
position.
Nice.
And so I had a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
And Laurel was the first interview, and she was great.
The cream rose.
Yes. Yes.
Laurel, what part of New Jersey are you from?
Hunterdon County.
Well, where is that? Like on the coast? Or
Western New Jersey, like somewhere near where Central Jersey / North Jersey
okay.
is, like right.
Is it north of Trenton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Morristown?
My mom's family
it's
is
just
also,
south of Morristown.
Bradley Beach area along the coast there on the Jersey Shore.
And
okay.
her grandparents live in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
oh, nice.
Bradley Beach.
Well, that's critical information for our
yes.
podcast listeners.
Yes.
I don't know what
yes.
they would do without that
exactly.
little tidbit.
Exactly. Well, you're not.
Thank God.
It'll
we can just stop everything right now because we now know where your education apprentice grandparents live. Let's just continue on this vein. Hey, where do your grandparents live?
What
are your grandparents
of? The U.S. Equestrian Team trains in Jersey outside of Chester.
No, that's fantastic. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
What are some of your objectives that you came in with, and what do you hope to accomplish? Do you have any say over what you do, or do you just get assignments that you have to carry out?
Heidi gives me, like, projects, but there's a lot of wiggle room within those projects. Like, there were, over the summer, Playtime Stories, there was, like, a children's hour shows Saturday mornings, so that's what I was doing. I was doing children's stories. The actors were students of Heidi's. But, like, I chose the stories we did.
Right. So you get. So you.
She adapted the stories.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's fantastic.
She came up with the crafts each week.
So you're being artistically challenged.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
bit.
A little
I
bit.
Mean,
yeah.
Yeah. It's not just drudge. Because, so here's the thing. If I've always found with the blog, if someone tells me to cover something, even though I may be really interested in the subject matter,
right.
but when someone tells me I have to cover it a certain way, I really lose interest in it.
Yeah.
But when I have input over how which way I want to cover it or something like that, I am
more
way
more
excited about carrying out the task.
Right. I have to say, I tried to go many times to Playtime Stories this summer with my granddaughter, but she would invariably fall asleep. But I'd get her in the stroller, and about 2 minutes
not
after
in the Playtime Story, before you got
there.
Before
we got there.
Yeah. 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 The stroller, and out she'd be like,
you have to get to work on that nap time for next summer. That's all I have
well,
to
next
say.
Next summer she'll be a little
but
bit older.
Kate and I were taking our walk, our loop, and we just happened, Larry and Sarah Oakes were hanging out with their monstrous dog that should be a horse. Right outside
and their monstrous son, who was a giant.
And
yes,
their monstrous
who's
son.
One of our actors, yeah.
And the kids, it was right when the
Whoa.
Playtime Stories was getting out. And there was just a ton of kids and parents coming out of this
right.
thing. What a great way to spend a morning with your
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, it's a good time period. It's an hour. And Laurel did a great job. She adapted the story.
I love that you did the whole section on Virginia Lee Burton. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know anything about Virginia Lee Burton before you did
I
that section?
I had read Katie and the Big Snow before, but I didn't know who Virginia Lee Burton was.
Do they still have the exhibit at Cape Ann Museum?
Mm-hmm. They always have it there.
Did you go to Cape Ann Museum?
No.
You ought to go.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody here, if you haven't been to Cape Ann Museum,
it
is, it's like a really good museum, totally worthwhile.
Yeah.
Like I always say, like when people come to our town, and they say, you know, what should we do? Top three, I would say. I always say the Lannan. If it's nice, go out on the Lannan.
Right.
But in the top three, definitely Cape Ann Museum.
And Gloucester Stage. of
That's
course,
it.
I know you were gonna come to that.
Exactly.
I knew you were gonna get to that. But you know, Laurel had a project she wanted to do. We would, you know, she comes to me. That's how the Young Playwrights Festival started last year. Was something that the apprentice, the education apprentice, and the marketing apprentice, and the production apprentice were really, really excited about, and was artistically was something that they, you know, they really wanted to do. And so it was just like, okay, let's do it. And this year, that's something that Laurel's in charge of. And we waited till you came to do the theme too, right?
Right,
yeah. Because the Young Playwrights Festival has a theme to give the kids kind of a guideline of what the play should be about, and Laurel picked it. Laurel decided on it.
There you go.
See,
you
so.
What is the theme this year?
Facing your fears.
Oh, all right. Very interesting.
The Agitators. This is appropriate. There's a recurring theme with the plays that are presented to us. Very appropriate for the time.
For the times.
Seems.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's by design. We have two of the actors. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I am James Malord, and I play Frederick Douglass.
And I'm Sarah Bedard, and I play Susan B. Anthony.
And who wants to speak to the premise behind The Agitators?
I guess I will. The Agitator sort of explores this relationship between Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony. They knew each other for most of their adult lives, and they had an enduring friendship that faced a whole lot of challenges because they were facing the challenges of the time that they were living in. And sort of as the pioneers of what they were fighting for, figuring out what that meant and what they were willing to sacrifice and what they weren't willing to sacrifice. And sometimes it meant sacrificing each other's needs, which is hard.
Yeah. On the head.
Nailed it. Nailed it. So is as a two person play, what goes from scene to scene? Is it the backdrops or what changes to give you different scenes, or is it all dialogue? How do you transition from, you know, you said over, this is over a long time they've known each other.
Right.
So how do you make those transitions? And they age. So is it done in different acts that you come out in different periods, or how does that work?
Well, there's minimal set changes. We have minimal costume changes as well. Most of the growth is done through what we're doing physically. And we have a few like wig changes and whatnot that shows that we're getting a little older with the gray hairs and whatnot, but it's basically our physical work and what we're bringing to the table to kind of let the audience know that these people are growing over the span of 30 years.
So were they friends?
They were good friends. They were good friends and allies. And that's
both fighting
frenemies.
both fighting for personal causes.
Absolutely.
In what ways did they did these become conflicts?
Well, they both started off fighting to abolish slavery, which was the biggest issue in the country at the time. And then once that happened, Susan B. Anthony started fighting more for women's rights. Well, they were both fighting for universal suffrage,
yes,
for everybody to be able to vote. And then with the 15th Amendment, black men were given the opportunity to vote, but it left women out. And Frederick Douglass was one of the people who said, we'll do this now because the women will be coming right after us. That didn't end up being true, but that's what his thought process was.
Mm-hmm.
And then many years later, 24 years later, when women were still fighting to get the vote, Susan B. Anthony didn't get to see women get the vote. She died before it happened. It happened 14 years after she died. But 24 years after black men got the vote, there was a big convention for women, and they decided to have it in Atlanta, and Atlanta decided to prohibit black women from attending the convention. So it went from universal to black men to white women. So each of them sacrificed other people to get closer to what they wanted.
Wow.
Interesting.
Gee.
What a time, huh? So they're in the play is in the end. Oh, we can't talk about
that.
You gotta come see it.
They both don't live though.
Yeah,
just so you know.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler. But yeah.
It sounds like an excellent production.
Yes.
Well, these people like live in the history books forever as a child, right? Growing up, you read about it. But then to see them come alive as actual people, you see about these struggles. They're not just statues in history, right?
Absolutely.
They're real people that have real struggles and relationships and friendships and,
mm-hmm,
and fights. it's wonderful to see that alive.
Well, it sounds like it really comes to life.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were friends.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea that there was any crossover there.
Yeah.
Right, and we're the second theater in the country ever to produce this, in the world to ever produce this play. It was produced in Rochester in November,
mm-hmm,
and we are the second theater to ever produce it.
By Matt Smart.
Relatively new play.
Matt
yeah.
Smart, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
When is it playing till?
October 7th.
Mm-hmm. October 7th?
So, and Wednesday through Sunday, Wednesday through Saturday, 7:30, Saturday and Sunday, 2 p.m., and then after the Sunday show, next week will be a talk back.
The talk back?
So if you
want to
ask
yeah.
Fred Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony any burning
questions.
Oh, you're
gonna be
in
character? In character?
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting?
They'll actually be James and Sarah. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's how you were selling it, right there.
But they can channel them. So, and the stage is super cool. It's something that I don't think we've ever done it before. The stage rotates.
Oh, great.
On a disc?
And it's a raked stage as well.
What does that mean?
A raked stage means that it goes up on an incline. I explained this to the kids yesterday.
There we go.
Yeah. So it goes up on an incline, which is the way stages...
How do you walk?
Ask them.
In the olden days,
theater first started, stages were raked. So because the audience was flat, so you needed to see everyone on stage. That's how the terms upstage, downstage came to be, because upstage you go up.
Right.
Right.
The rake, downstage you're down. Now that's not really good.
I'll never forget that. No.
And at Gloucester, at Gloucester Stage, we don't really, the audience is kind of the rake and you're down.
Yeah.
But this, it's really cool and it moves around and
right.
It scares me. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how, right, that's what I'm thinking. Like, what are your toes pointed down?
It's not that
simple.
So does a little incline provide a big... like, you know what I mean? It may not seem like a very steep, but it has dramatic effects.
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's the dramatic. And then there's also panels that move in the back. The set goes all the way to the back.
Who's the artistic director?
The artistic director, a guy named Bob Walsh.
That guy?
There's actually one additional character in the play who's Devin, our assistant stage manager.
Yeah.
He comes out and he does this wonderful job of changing the scene, moving the set around. There's a fun moment where it revolves several times while Susan is handing out pamphlets and stuff. So there's a lot of storytelling that's happening in these transitions, which also, in a lot of respects, clears the palette for the audience while we jump ahead to the next 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it is. The one thing I will say, though, is it feels like this historical chunk of time that we've ripped out of our past, but how exactly it aligns to what's happening today is staggering.
Staggering,
you know,
yeah.
I can't tell you. It's, it's so powerful that way.
All right, we'll
Matt is a
week.
Fantastic writer. He's really... just tremendous skill set, and so the resonances of certain lines that are completely credible in the mouths of these people who lived more than 100 years ago, you know what I mean, it just rings like a bell.
So Chris Griffith is with us.
Good morning.
You are the new interim managing director?
That's correct, yep.
And you're young.
I could be the youngest managing director in Boston, I think, maybe.
I would think so.
Yeah.
It's baby faced.
That's why I got the beard, right? That's good.
So what are you bringing to the table? Like, what do they see in you?
Kind
of hitting questions. I'm going to tell you, I don't know, I'm going to say this. I don't know you that well.
Yeah.
But I admire your video work.
Thanks.
I love it on the website, because I go to the casts come in, I go to the website and I check out the little interviews and the previews, and I think they're fabulous. Fantastic. You're doing great job.
Thanks,
marketing wise.
That.
Love it. In your words, like, what do you think you bring to the table?
Yeah, awesome, right? So I had this is my first year in Gloucester, right? I moved into town. I live on Sayward Street. It's awesome. I'm already in love with this place. From Indiana originally. So the first year here, we were jumping right into that. And you hit the nail on the head. More videos, right? How do we tell the stories that are happening on stage more and in a better way to get people to come? So that was our goal this year. And you know, I think we reached that goal. And then kind of as the year started going on, Jeff was like, hey, I think I'm tired of pushing the papers and punching the calculator. I want to get back to the stage. And so I like that. I happen to love a good balanced budget. You know, that's like what I enjoy. So, and I have a background in business. I have my MBA from Ball State University in entrepreneurship, right? And at the time, I was working at a nonprofit theater there too. So never thought I'd go into this, but started volunteering somewhere. Really loved it. And then I was like, hey, I think I can be good at this. And so that's what I'm making my life now.
What a great story. I think there's a lot of artists in this room. And anyone that considers themselves any kind of artistic ability or even hobby, if you can make that your life's work, I think we'll all agree, there's nothing better than that, right? Like, I dream of one day the blog being able to be like my thing, you know what I mean? My thing or something, you know? And it's just... Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm so
not a bad
honored.
Place. So wait, you were Indiana?
Yeah, so yeah.
So is this a little bit different kind of
there's a little more ocean out here than Indiana. But oh my gosh, no. I mean, everyone's so friendly. Everyone, like, it's, you know, the kind of like farmer mentality is so similar to fishermen in Gloucester, right? Like, working hard every day. Yeah. Off the land, making a go at this, and so I feel right at home in Gloucester, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are passionate about what they do, they care about their families and their work, and it feels just like home.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there are a lot of similarities, fishermen and
farmers,
you know, dealing
yeah.
with government regulations,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
all
yeah,
different kind
true.
Of,
yeah.
you know, for and not all that government regulation is not all bad. You know,
right.
everybody likes to take shots at the government, but like,
unpredictable.
if they weren't regulating the fisheries, there wouldn't be any fish left, believe me.
And also, like, the unpredictability of weather and things
mm-hmm.
like that. Like, you know, it's just always trying to make a go of it, no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's nice to have you here.
Thanks, man. It's nice to be here. I mean, this stage company is, you know, it's renowned throughout the nation. I wouldn't be able to found a job here if it hadn't had a further reach than, you know, just Massachusetts. So I'm lucky to be here, and I'm excited to see where we can go next year.
Excellent. Patty Amaral has joined us.
Yeah.
Mado.
Yeah.
Mado's Field.
Mado's Field. Joseph Mado's. Yes,
who was Joseph Mado's? Who was
one
Joseph
of the youngest Mado's? Men to die in World War One. Died at 19 years old. One day after his 19th birthday. So basically he was only 18. Look at the little Portuguese boy. He's wonderful.
And they named Ball Field after him.
They named the Ball Field after him. They dedicated in 1935 in his name. His family.
Great photos.
So anyway, we did the whole field over. Light Up Mado's community worked real hard. And everyone gave money, opened up their pockets, and just gave us money, and we wrote many grants. And
can you tell the listeners where Mado's Field is?
It's on Webster Street. I don't think there's a number. It's right next to the Ward 2 school.
The bottom of Portugee Hill.
Yeah.
Going the opposite direction of Sunbank.
So yeah. So we have a big day coming up, October 5th. It's his 100th anniversary, and we've been working for this day. And I'm going to be so happy when it's here. It's been a lot of work, but it's going to be a real proud moment for his family. His family's coming from all over.
Wow.
That's awesome.
To be here.
Tell me about the lights.
I don't know, even know what the price tag is on it yet. I haven't had time to add it up, but I will one day. But lots of grants. It was $110,000 got from CPA. And then, of course, we had to have the ground tested twice, because first we were going to have 6 lights, and then we went down to 4 lights.
What
so
does that mean,
a,
ground testing?
You have to have the soil tested to see what the soil substrates are. Believe me, I've learned a lot. I only played ball and cleaned the bathroom. I don't know how I got to this. I'm like, recycle, bathroom, next thing you know, it's like, okay, we're going to do this for 4 years. But, yeah, so you have to test the soils and stuff. And then we went down to 4 poles. We had to test in another area. So we had to write another grant.
So the light affects the soil?
The soil,
no,
the poles going up, they have to have... And they have
certain.
To know what the soils are. That you know, that was a pond. It was called the pond. That was ice was cut from that. From
oh,
I just had a brain freeze there. You know, the Cape Van Pond ice.
Yeah.
Cape Pond.
Wow. So there's a lot of history. When I wrote the grants over and over, this is one of the grants.
over and over. It's just the his. Oh, he has a picture right here. Look at it. I pulled it up.
Oh,
look at that.
Oh, wow.
So it was a pond there. That that's what people skated, and many marriages were forged there. So yes, many, many, many. And so they were all down there skating and having just having a ball, and that's what it was. And so there's just a lot of history with the field, and it was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. The lights were the lights fell down Fiesta weekend 2 years ago. It was a, I think they've only canceled Fiesta twice in history. I could be wrong.
Oh, the storms, yeah.
But that they canceled Fiesta that Sunday, and the light came. One light came down, and I knew another one was gonna. And then the other one came down with it. But funny, the one that was hanging over the school that I have in these grants all the time, a picture of, that one didn't fall down.
Wow.
And there was one that's like this, the pizza one. It might be in here, but it was just hanging right over the school like this for years and years. And my kid went to school there. That, you know, that's where I started this whole thing.
Oh, I see.
Started picking up litter in the playground and ended up there. So anyway, but so it's a really big day. We have a flyover coming, and I just talked to the pilot yesterday. And so Flight for CF, he runs the organization, Rich Little, and he has an organization for his daughter, Piper, who has cystic fibrosis. So Flight for CF, and he's coming with some friends, and they're going to fly over. And we're trying to time it perfectly for when we're putting his new his flag up, his 48-star flag that we're getting from Pauline's Gifts. So just a lot of people are like, you know, just pitching in. My husband bought the pole. Gordon's took it, you know, brought it here for us so we didn't have to pay for shipping.
Wow.
I mean, it, you know, what's so great about this is it's just like a PTO thing when I was on the PTO at Veterans. It's little things. It's a dollar. Some people gave a dollar. Some people bought a $5 koozie. Some people did T-shirts. You know what I mean? And so everyone feels like they're involved in this field. It's not just, oh, someone wrote grants and it's over. It's not like that with this field. So we're hoping that day is going to be a really great day.
Okay, what is the date again?
October 5th at 4 o'clock.
October 5th at 4
and
o'clock.
Yeah, and so the flyover hopefully will come when we're booming the flag. It's going to be difficult. We'll
fantastic.
And then we're having our softball buddies are going to play a couple innings after. We've been having special needs kids come down.
Nice.
And we got them T-shirts. They're very happy about that. Judy Rose paid for those. And we're just very happy about the day.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Is there
and Lucia was supposed to be here with me, and I was really disappointed when I walked in. I didn't see her face because I really wanted her to talk about the veterans. I think sometimes, you know, people forget about veterans, and we have to remember that, you know, even though they're all gone and the wars are, those wars are ended, you know.
Jason Groh has done a great job with that.
Great job.
With that,
the portrait series
where he went around and photographed the remain, you know, the still living.
World War One vets.
Yeah.
And
I was such a
wonderful.
That movie,
yeah.
Wall, all those.
Yeah.
Things, just wonderful.
So, thank you. Is there a website that we can send people to for this event? Is
there
a Facebook page?
Oh, yes, Light Up Mados. We're still doing Light Up Mados, even
okay.
though we already have the lights up.
All right, great. Well, thank you for coming, Patty.
Well, thanks.
I'll put that in the show notes. I want to get back to the play just for one sec about I have in the show notes there is the ability to buy the there's two links. The first link is to the main page on the Gloucester stage, and the second link is to did Tom write the write up for the
agitators? We haven't been yet, so we'll go this week.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Joey.
Yeah. Just wanted to make sure that was in there.
Yeah.
The videos that you did.
The videos are on the website.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we have that.
Yes. Yeah, the videos and the cast interviews.
Yeah, so far right
like
now
that.
For Agitators, right, we're in the process where you have the cast interviews and we also have audience interviews so you can see folks that have come to see the show. And kind of like we were talking about before, you'll already see that these folks are like really picking up on how this connects to what's going on right now. And so it's kind of cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, and Frederick Douglass lived in Lynn, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Frederick Douglass lived in Lynn.
And where does the story all take place?
Rochester, Boston, Washington D.C.
So this is interesting to me. What years is this? Is this?
What year is this?
1849 to 18.
Something.
86, I think.
That sounds
about
right.
So how does a black man? See, I'm so clueless, right? As this privileged white guy. Living in 2018, like I wouldn't realize that a young black man could go around and hang around with Susan B. Anthony, in the 1800s. Just travel. I always thought everybody, like back then, everybody was a slave.
He was a slave.
He was.
So how did you get to
slavery?
So how, not you, but how did,
well,
how,
I, first
channeling.
I
start channeling him right
how
now.
Does,
come on.
How does Frederick Douglass go from like Lynn to this place to that place to this place as a slave? How
does
that?
Have
I wonder how that works out.
While living up north, when he escaped slavery, I think it was a little bit different, especially staying in Rochester. Around Quakers and around people who, I mean, up north it was a little bit more liberal, so it wasn't like the entire country, everybody had slaves or was supporting that. I was amazed to find out how many people, including Frederick Douglass, were able to have just their own autonomy, just to be able to live their lives without, I don't want to say without prejudice and terror and,
right.
you know,
right,
all
right.
that other good stuff happening. Bad stuff happening.
Bad stuff happening.
But it was happening, you know, mm-hmm. and there were many other people aside from Frederick Douglass that had wives and had jobs and weren't slaves.
Right.
And their stories need to be told as well. And it's fascinating because I used to hold that same opinion. It's like, wait a minute, you know, I think 1800s, everybody was a slave, you know, that's what all the country was about. And that's not true. That's simply not true. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know exactly how,
right.
you know, I mean, I know he faced some obstacles and he worked his, busses behind, I don't know,
can yeah.
swear.
Yeah, you can swear, you can do whatever you want. Well, trust me,
yeah.
it gets a lot
as
worse, it gets a lot
like
worse here.
Awesome. you know, and he just, he gave up a lot, to be able to have the life that he did, to provide the life that he did for his children, one of his sons was a violinist. His sons, they were in the war. What was it, World War II? Not World War II. 54th, I'm sorry, not World War II. Thank you. 54th. You know, and so, you know, there was a lot that was accomplished by Frederick, not just for the nation and for all black people, but just for himself, you
mm-hmm.
know, and his family, which I find
mm-hmm.
very impactful, you know, just
yeah.
as a man,
mm-hmm.
just going against the grain and doing what he needed to do. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you guys. As again, the tickets are available through Gloucester Stage, and it's there linked in the show notes. Appreciate you guys coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, the actors just left, and as they were leaving, they went down to the bottom of the stairs. I just restarted the podcast, and Kim took a bunch of photos, and she had it on auto click,
yeah.
so we had so many people in the room. You like to take a lot of photos because inevitably you get someone with their eyes half closed,
right?
Right.
It's either their eyes closed or they decide to itch their nose at that time or look away or something.
Itch their nose.
So
I saw Joe picking his nose.
Picking my nose. That happens all the time. So last night we went for dinner at Passports and a good friend from Bishop Fenwick, Vito Mastrangelo, came into town, who will get him to move here any day now.
Yeah.
Vito took a selfie of us and happened to catch me looking like that they would use it on if they ever wanted to use that in the future for to make someone look bad, like they were on drugs or something. I'm like, this, my eyes are both closed.
Right, your eyes are closed.
I posted it anyways because it's my good friend Vito, but if people like looked at it, they'd be thinking that I'm completely whacked out. Chris,
yes.
just got back from D.C.
I did. I went and visited my son.
And I hate politics. I just can't stand the partisan like things of politics nowadays and how it divides our country. But from what everybody tells me, D.C. is a great place to go.
It is.
Like,
absolutely.
Especially if you're a young person, they say it's a great, great town.
A lot
great.
Of energy.
Great, great town. And a very, very expensive town.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yes.
Compared to New York? Same level?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the same level. But, I'm helping my son with his apartment.
Yeah?
Oh. So, like, I...
He'd be terrible at Gloucester
so
Stage. Total stage fright. Like,
did you add in for him when he does
So I think we were talking about how expensive D.C. is, but I come from a slightly different perspective because it's not just visiting there. and paying for food and hotel, but it's also paying, helping my son pay for school, helping him pay for his apartment, helping him live down there, which I'm happy I can do.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to go visit him. This time around, we actually, they built a new casino in Maryland, just right outside of DC. MGM put a big facility there. So we went there, and I had never been there. My wife had never been there. So we went and spent about an hour or two there and had some fun. And then we went to Alexandria,
nice.
Virginia, which is absolutely
I
beautiful.
Love that.
My
if you haven't been to Alexandria, it's a must visit
place. What is it like?
Oh,
it's like
Beacon Hill. Yeah,
Beacon Hill.
Yeah,
like Beacon
cobblestones.
Hill. Cobblestones.
Yeah.
Brownstones.
A lot of history there. Row housing.
Amazing restaurants.
A lot of restaurants.
Yeah.
Shops.
High
walking
score.
Yeah,
seafood, crab. Everything's got
I
want to
go there.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And what's nice is they just put in a new water shuttle, so you can take the water shuttle from Georgetown to Alexandria and vice versa. So and that ride on a boat from the Potomac or on the Potomac
You're on the
is
river.
Great.
Oh
it gives
gosh.
You
a
completely
beautiful.
Different perspective of you know, DC to see DC from the water.
I feel like George Washington.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and if you go a little bit further up the Potomac, you can see where his house
wow.
up on the hill.
Really?
It's yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But what was neat, what we did for the first time, at least I did, Connor has played there before, is called Top Golf. It's a driving range.
Oh, yeah,
range.
Yeah. Those are cool.
Oh, my God. It was, you know, I'm a huge golfer,
yeah.
so. For me to be able to visit Topgolf for the first time, it's a driving range on steroids where you know, you go instead of going to hit balls, you can actually compete against the person you're there with or the
Almost
group
from
you're
a
there
couple
with.
There's like platforms.
Yeah,
how many levels high
are
the platforms?
This one had two, but I think like the one in Vegas. Mike, you've been to the one in Vegas.
No, I've been to the one. I've been to the one in Alexandria.
Oh, in Alexandria.
Yeah.
Okay.
Atlanta has four.
Yeah, four. I think New York has like four. But this was the first one ever was in Alexandria. But you get balls with a chip, and they're assigned to your name. So every time you hit one and you aim at a target, depending on where you hit the target, you get
Distance to the target?
You get
more points
the further the target is.
Oh.
So it's a really cool experience. They sell food, alcohol, which makes it a even better experience.
Much like Gloucester Stage.
They
chart how your game drops off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's for sure. That's exactly what happened to my son and I. But,
where's your son in college?
George Washington University. So he's a senior this year and working hard, and we'll be excited to see.
Good luck.
You know what his next adventure.
He's a great kid.
Adventure is.
He's great to hang out with too.
Yeah.
He's like one of the guys.
Yeah, he can hang.
He can definitely have. He's a kid. He's another reason I'm happy that the McCarthy's moved here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing problem is my liver has totally been damaged. I said to Vito last night. So we had a reunion of sorts. Vito Mastrangelo from lives in Danvers went to Bishop Fenwick. Mike and I went for dinner, and I said to him, "It's been great. I love having Chris here in Gloucester." But it's going to be the death of me. It's going to be the death of me.
Oh, yeah. I'm,
this is punishing
I'm
my
the
liver.
Bad guy. Say
punishing my
the
liver.
Bad guy.
Yeah, that's you. That is you. No
Vito would fit in well here with that last name, Estrangelo.
He would. He would love all. He would love Cafe Sicilia and Virgilio's
nice
and Sclafani's.
We need more Irishmen here like
Where,
Vito.
Where does he live now?
He lives in Denver. He lives like only a street or two away from where he grew up.
Oh, he's got to come.
He's got to come. I spent... This is not, no one really cares about this, but I know, you know how there's days in your life where you know where you were? Like, you know, everybody talks about where they were when
9/11.
JFK was assassinated.
9/11.
And when the space shuttle kind of blew up.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the place I was. I remember when Doug Flutie threw the pass to Phelan.
Yeah.
I was with Vito on his parents' living room floor watching that game.
That is funny.
Yeah.
I was with Russ and Rob.
You went to the game.
I was down in Orlando.
Right.
At Disney World, at the Contemporary Hotel, in our hotel room.
Watching that game.
That was our senior trip.
There you go. There you go.
Two other Fenwick guys. That's funny.
Oh my God.
Good point. Where were you, Mike?
He
was at the game.
He was fucking. I was at the game.
He was drilling some unsuspecting girl.
You were on the team, weren't you?
On the sidelines. I was.
It was tight end.
He was underneath the stands with the cheerleader. That's where he was. Chances are.
Or one of the teachers.
I was playing the after party.
Yep. Probably. You know, any of these are completely not out of the realm of possibility. Wouldn't even bat your eyelash if that truly happened. Anyway.
Hashtag Rosecliff.
Kim, Matsu Giambanco fundraiser. You were there?
Yeah, fundraiser last night. It was incredible. There was just an incredible turnout.
Can I say one thing? I'm gonna let you speak to this, but there are certain photographs in town that are iconic photographs.
And that's one.
The photograph of Matza standing on the end of the greasy pole with his chest out, his chin up, with the flag in his hand, and he could have stood there for 2 hours if he wanted to, looking at the crowd.
Yeah.
Black and white, mounds of grease all along the track, and
that
him
is
just
iconic.
Is
iconic.
An absolute
Where is that?
Iconic. I
posted it on Good Morning.
It's on the blog, but it was always in the some of the, what was it, Cafe, what was Short and Pretentious before it was Short and Pretentious? What was
Valentino's.
Valentino's, they had it, they had it there.
We love Short and Main.
Well, I mean Short and Main, that's what I meant to say. I meant to say Short and Main, I'm sorry.
We love Short and Main.
No, it's great. They have excellent food. Wonderful bartenders.
It's not pretentious.
Isn't. No, not at all.
The
of course.
The food is so fantastic.
It's wonderful.
Best pizza.
The food is so fantastic.
You should see what I've never seen such a fucking dramatic show of someone making a cocktail of the guy behind the bar at Short and Main making a cocktail. It is
pretty good.
There's so much body motion going into this thing that.
He's a wisp of a guy, you know. He's
a wonderful guy. I'm sure he's a fantastic human being. It is just hilarious how dramatic they make the process of making a Manhattan.
We've been training them at Gloucester Stage now, so it's all part of the youth education.
They're part
program.
Of the youth acting workshop.
Right.
They go from there
there's a
bartending making drinks.
We actually had a wonderful dinner from there last night to go. It was fantastic.
Their food is amazing. It's an ongoing joke. It's not a personal shot at them. Their food is fabulous.
Their food is amazing.
It really is amazing. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky to have him here.
Their oysters are good.
Their oysters are great.
Yeah.
I actually love going to that bar. You know what? I'm going to give them a compliment right now. I love the sardines in the olive oil with the crusty bread. Fabulous.
Love sardines.
Going to that bar for dollar oysters and getting the bread with the sardines and having some great libations is not a bad decision.
They're one of the few places that has Lambrusco. Duckworth also has Lambrusco. I mean, I don't know what other places you can get that in town.
You know, I usually base my what I'm going to go for dinner is if I can get Lambrusco. That's right at the top of my list.
Have you guys had Lambrusco recently? It is so
good. You turned my wife on to Lambrusco, and she...
not your grandfather's Lambrusco.
Rio
Nadio
Lambrusco, the red
wine?
No, it's...
Rio Nadio on ice. That's nice. Don't you remember?
It's not that.
Obviously,
we had it yesterday.
If you ever do like the three
what didn't we have
Stooges?
Stooges.
I mean, you got three right here. We're gonna volunteer right now to be on stage.
If you want to have an almost amazing dinner,
sure.
You can have.
Joey's been on stage.
What's that?
Joey's been on stage.
Has he?
I'm not kidding.
I'm telling them about your theater experience. Your buddies. They didn't come to support you. I'm kind of disappointed.
I didn't live here, and I didn't get the notice.
No,
well,
you didn't.
You could have taken a trip here.
We can
that's
say more
far.
About it.
That's
see, Joey.
I had the same role in this production at Gloucester Stage that I did in all of my previous theater put roles in high school theater. The fucking tree. I was the fucking tree. Because I had a voice that I had, that tone deaf, cannot sing, cannot act. So they always, but I wanted to have a lot of activities for my college resume. So I did, the theater program. Plus there was pretty girls that did theater, right?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know, you guys, don't you know?
Yep.
High school boys.
You get to do the theater.
You do theater. That's where all the girls are.
Yeah. It absolutely is.
I was doing that in sixth grade, 1978-79.
You were?
Sixth grade, how did that work out for you?
We did Grease.
Oh.
You were John Travolta, right?
No, we had twins. The Rizzo boys were twins, and they split the role.
The Rizzo boys.
I was one of the T-Birds.
Who were you? Which one?
We didn't have character names. It was mostly dancing production.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're a dancer too? Wow.
He's Renaissance man right there. Mike Colbert #hashtag Renaissance man. Yeah. That's him.
He lives on a boat 2 months out of
the year. If you look at his Grindr profile, he lives on a boat two months out of the year. Yep, that's true.
His Grindr
profile. Actually, all that stuff's why I'm done with all that.
For today.
Oh my God, I've heard it all. Okay, so I'm sorry. I introduced you. I'm still drunk from last night. I interrupted you, and I want you to talk about the Mazza Giambanco fundraiser.
Well, to get back to the photo, so Anthony Saputo and Safatia auctioned off two beautiful flags that they'd made with that iconic photo on it. So life-size photos on the flags, and Ralph Martin, who owns Preferred Auto, and Melissa Cox were the high bidders, and so they got the two flags. And then Maria Cracciola made an extraordinarily beautiful cake that said
Is that the one that owns Cafe Cecilia?
Cafe Cecilia.
Okay.
And there was a 50-50 raffle, but it was just filled with wonderful people and all there to support Matza, and it was
Does he have a medical
night.
Issues? What is that? I don't know what it was. What was their fundraiser for?
He has cancer.
Oh,
and
I didn't know.
Very far along.
Yeah.
Cancer.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
I have to reach out to Safatia and Grace and Rosario. Sorry.
There is going to be an online fundraiser. I'm putting the post together, and Joey's going to link to it about how other ways that you can support the family. So, yeah.
I donated a photo, a framed photo. I know Felicia brought some stuff.
Yeah,
And a lot of people are helping out there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for covering it. For us.
Yeah, there'll be photos tonight.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, we'll link to that. Can you give us a Cape Ann wildlife update?
Okay.
Oh, wait, let's talk about the dead seal.
Okay, the dead
seal.
Yeah.
Well, that's wildlife.
How about
right?
The dead puppies?
Yeah.
Dead
puppies.
So yesterday, I was at the studio, and Kate, for lunch, and Kate sent me a picture. She was on her walk. There was a dead
baby
seal,
a little baby,
washed up on Niles Beach.
Wow. Yeah,
and so I was having lunch with Joe Fish, and I'm like, Joe, that'll be, you know how he does the dog? I'm like, that would make a really cool one. Like,
so
you want me to help you? We'll lug the thing up and we'll get a little
Jesus.
Imprint. But I was joking, of course.
I think it's a good thing you did. I don't know if you're supposed to touch marine animals.
No, you're
okay.
not.
Though
some people would probably have a meltdown that you touched it. But
I took a photo of it. I made the second photo in black and white because there was so much blood coming out.
Could you detect what would your guess be that why it died?
I have no idea. I mean, there's two terrible diseases that seals are getting right now. There's been over 600 washed ashore this summer from Maine to Massachusetts, and that's a very high mortality rate.
Yeah, yeah.
I know there's a seal explosion right now, but that's very high, and they have distemper and some other virus that I don't know.
And two whales last week.
Couple days ago, two whales on one on Revere Beach. That's the same whale that was spotted off the coast of Gloucester, but also another new dead whale on Little Brewster Island in Boston Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Two minke whales the week before, another minke whale at Rye Beach. So it's a lot of whales washing up dead on the shore in the course of a very short period of time. So
I think it's the lobsters, probably. The lobster bites.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. That's sad.
Yeah, that's sad.
But yeah. What was strange to me, so we took a ride after we left the studio. We took a ride to get to my house. We went around by Niles and Farrington Ave to get back home.
Okay.
And there was a lady. We saw the dead seal.
Right.
And there's a lady sunbathing, literally.
15 feet away.
Like she didn't. She,
no, it was there.
It was right there. I mean,
maybe
it was.
She was the mama. Maybe it was.
No.
It was, but it was sad because, like, I've only ever, like, I've seen young harbor seals, but this was really little.
Yeah.
Almost pure white.
Yeah.
Just,
the fur on it.
Yeah, with like baby fur on it.
Yeah.
But there must have been bugs around it and stuff.
No,
it was fresh.
It was
fresh.
Yeah. It was very fresh.
Yeah.
It wasn't cloudy.
And it wasn't really hot out in the fly because.
Yeah.
But it's very sad. But it's just weird that the lady was just.
Where's the seal
sitting
now?
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, did anybody take the coat off it or anything like that?
Stop it.
Could have made some nice shoes for Joe. For
see, this is a. See, there are distinct generational differences. So the class of 1985, Bishop Fenwick. Like, if we went to high, if you put our brains into a high school student, they wouldn't last a day with how sensitive the kids are today, right? Like, the shit that we made fun of, like, the fucking horrified these kids would be. Like, the stuff that, like, you know, from the way
I agree.
We wouldn't survive. We would be, like, you know, if you did one of those shows where you, you know, like, swap.
We get a lobotomy.
You would adapt.
I don't know. Yeah.
Is there a good play?
Sink or Swim.
We should.
That would be a good play.
Right.
Who wants to write that play?
Yeah.
Laurel, come on.
Yeah, Laurel. Well, it is, in the children's level.
Hey, maybe next year you guys could submit a play to the Young Playwrights Festival.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
it wouldn't be appropriate for
years.
Young playwrights. Hey, there she is, Miss America.
What's going on? Good to see you.
Kate showed up.
It was a good night last night.
You are.
Yeah. So, Kate, how are you, honey? Talk about the seal. How close to that lady that was sunbathing close to the seal? How far would you say she was? 10 feet?
10 feet, yeah.
10 feet away. It's so strange.
Did she notice it, I wonder?
She couldn't have missed it.
It really blended in with the sand.
I thought it was, like, you know, sometimes bags will...
Yeah.
I thought it was that person, but you could see the tail.
Yeah.
It
was a very young one. It was surely.
She also sent me a picture of a dead crow, and she asked me to go get it with a shovel, bring it back to the house, and string it up so maybe it'll scare the other crows away.
I hate them. They're still there.
That would scare them away. That would scare them away.
Yeah.
It truly would scare them away.
You should get a scarecrow.
Happy wife.
Yeah, a scarecrow. Yeah, Joe.
Is there oh, really?
Put the podcast on pause. 30 second pause.
Grab microwave popcorn.
Oh, my Lord. Such terrible people.
Check, please. Check.
Do you want to finish wildlife?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So the monarch migration has not really started kicking up yet, but the cormorants are massing really huge numbers, and you saw some as well, right? Like they
yes, I know. I didn't see the cormorants so as much as I saw what you're going to describe this, but I saw right at when you're coming down 128 to the first rotary, a ton of herons.
Herons,
yeah,
right. Yeah, so
over by your house.
The cormorants are fishing for the schools of fish. So they start to mass. And then they push all the schools of fish closer to the shore, and the herons and the egrets are all waiting on shore to eat the fish. So it's this wonderful.
Plus the dogs.
It's symbiotic, not for the. It's not really an example of symbiosis, but it's really. It's because
it ends up being.
Yeah, because it ends up being for the herons. So,
yeah, I caught one morning on Mill River. It was insane.
Yes, that's
crazy.
They're going up, you can see it, and like 20 different vantage points all up the Anasquam River. They fly over the boulevard early in the morning, and then they just go straight up the Anasquam. And so you can, you know, little clusters of this going on. It's really mad to watch because there's like you know, there's a couple thousand cormorants, and it's this huge flourish.
It would be really
on,
cool
so.
If someone had a drone overhead of that. That would be amazing
footage.
That
would be amazing.
Yeah.
But, so do you want me to talk about the BBC interview?
I would love to hear that.
BBC?
Yeah, so...
Yes, Kim, big news, big.
So the BBC contacted me about a month ago about the monarch migration through New England, and first they just wanted help writing the story, and then they...
The reason they've contacted Kim, by the way, is because she's the foremost authoritative person on monarchs.
Monarch butterflies,
yeah, because there's other people that claim to be... That they put doctor in front of their name all the time, but Kim, they steal all her research and ideas. Go ahead.
No, not really.
Go.
So they saw my trailer that's why they contacted me for my film.
Because you're the foremost authority.
So anyway, so then they...
See, she didn't deny it.
Wait, so
did you notice that?
I'm not the foremost authority. No, I'm totally not. There's people all over the country who are doing this.
You're just being modest. Go.
Yeah. So, anyways, they first wanted to lease the footage, and then they asked me to interview for the show. So we had a day filming of, it took about 8 hours, and they have this show called Autumn Watch, Spring Watch, and they've been producing it since 2005, but it primarily only plays in the UK, you know, in the... they only film it usually in England, and then it plays all over the world. But now, this is the first time that they've ever filmed it in the U.S., so it's going to be called Autumn Watch New England, and it chronicles a whole bunch of stories that are taking place, and there's, like, moose with Lyme disease and things like that. Mm. So they wanted to do Monarch Butterflies on Cape Ann because they saw the trailer. So it's really great for Cape Ann because, I mean, they took beautiful footage.
Does this tie into your movie?
Yeah, because they're leasing a whole pile of footage from me, too. That's what I'm supposed to be doing right now, is going through hours and hours of footage to send them. But it's going to be great for my movie.
That's awesome.
It's going to be awesome. Really
this is
awesome.
Why, finally, you're going to get the recognition you deserve as the foremost authoritative. Monarch, butterfly.
No, that
congratulations.
True, there are a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of people all around the country.
There's a lot of secondary people. There's only one
Kim
Smith.
When she's on the BBC, the slug underneath her will say foremost authority on the monarch butterflies
Boom.
In the world.
It shouldn't say that.
It should. Absolutely should. All right, let me just see. Oh, wait, one second. I think we got everything in here.
Her pace.
What?
Kate's pace. She's going to be off her pace if she's sick at that.
Connor's got a football game.
It's football season.
Go see the Agitators.
Yes, Young Playwrights Festival, Tuesday, September 25th. Tuesday night, 7:30. Seven new plays by young playwrights ranging in age from how old, Laurel?
9 is our youngest, 17 is our oldest.
Excellent.
And
anybody that we know?
Nate Oakes wrote a play.
Nate Oakes, Kate.
NATO.
Those are our people.
Wrote a play. Colby Terramina wrote a play. You know, Lenny Terramina
from
his son. Colby wrote a play based on his personal experience. And we have two, Paul Melendi, the naked guy.
Yeah.
From Bernie and Phil's. He will not be naked. He'll be clothed. Thankfully. This year we are incorporating some professional actors in. And so Colby Terramina, senior in high school, been with me since fourth grade, his play is going to feature Paul Melendi, who was in Cyrano, and Dossie Peabody, professional actress who basically portrayed some of the most iconic characters in Gloucester stage history.
Wow.
And she was on the board, and they will both be in Colby's play.
We even got a kid from England to write a play.
Yes, a girl from England submitted a play. She lives just outside Gloucester, England, so now we're international.
Oh. International, baby.
So there's a post going up tonight, and you can link to that.
Okay, we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Thanks.
Also, September 30th, we have a special one night only, Never Dark program, and it's called Hold These Truths. It's about the Japanese internment during World War II.
Oh.
7:30.
Hold These Truths. All right.
Cool.
Thank you guys for coming. As always,
thank you.
An hour and 24 minutes. Boom. Chakalaka. Have a great day, everybody.